Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Please be sure to read all through the announcements to see what's going on here around the church and in the community. There is a listing of all the Lent and Easter worship services at the back of the bulletin. And this week for Lent, we do have a Wednesday morning devotional service in our chapel, and that's at 10 o'clock. And then for the evening Lenten rotation service, we will be at Holy Cross Catholic Church, and that is 6 o'clock for supper and 7 o'clock for worship. Okay, other announcements?
Good morning. I just wanted to let everyone know that we're having the Seder meal again this year. It'll be on March 29th, which is Palm Sunday. And the lesson and meal are going to start right after church in the fellowship hall. Everyone's welcome, so please plan to join us. Also, if you're interested in helping with the meal, there's a sign-up sheet in the narthex. We could use some youth table leaders to help serve food at each of the tables. There are also opportunities to help with providing food, setting up, and clean up after the meal. And this year, we're also looking for some help leading the songs that are played during the meal with the piano music. This is open to adults and youth, so if you enjoy singing, you can come join us to practice on March 12th and March 26th at 6 o'clock in the fellowship hall. Thank you.
Good morning. I would like to just remind everybody or inform you, if you have not heard, that we are going to be having crazy crafts from 2 to 4 p.m. today. There will be snacks provided, and you can come and just paint a picture, do a shirt, something fun. So we hope that you will join us. Thank you.
Okay, any other announcements this morning? Not then, I invite you to rise as we start with the brief order for confession and forgiveness. We begin the service in the remembrance of our baptism, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening hymn, O Savior, Precious Savior.
And come
Congregation may be seated. And you are asked to follow along with Holy Baptism. It is in the green hymnal, the LBW, at the beginning of the book, page 121. Page 121. In holy baptism, our gracious Heavenly Father liberates us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are born children of a fallen humanity. In the waters of baptism, we are reborn children of God and inheritors of eternal life. By water in the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, which is the body of Christ. As we live with him and with his people, we grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God.
I present Weston to receive the sacrament of holy baptism.
In Christian love, you have presented this child for holy baptism. You should therefore faithfully bring him to the services of God's house and teach him the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments. As he grows in years, you should place in his hands the Holy Scriptures and provide for his instruction in the Christian faith, that living in the covenant of their baptism and in communion with the church, he may lead a godly life until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you promise to fulfill these obligations? The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, we give you thanks, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters and you created heaven and earth. By the gift of water, you nourish and sustain us and all living things. By the waters of the flood, you condemned the wicked and saved those whom you had chosen, Noah and his family. You led Israel by the pillar of cloud and fire through the sea, out of slavery into the freedom of the promised land. In the waters of the Jordan, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Spirit. By the baptism of his own death and resurrection, your beloved son has set us free from the bondage to sin and death and has opened the way to the joy and freedom of everlasting life. He made water a sign of the kingdom and of cleansing and rebirth. In obedience to his command, we make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit, so that he who is here baptized may be given new life. Wash away the sin of him who is cleansed by this water, and bring him forth as an inheritor of your glorious kingdom. To you be given praise and honor and worship through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we baptize. Do you renounce all the forces of evil, the devil, and all his empty promises? Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty,
Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? Weston Glenn Jennings, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, you can hold him back up again. Okay. The Lord be with you. Okay, bring the water here again. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for freeing your sons and daughters from the power of sin and for raising them up to a new life through your holy sacrament. Pour your Holy Spirit upon Weston, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence. Amen. Weston, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Amen.
Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
O God, the giver of all life, look with kindness upon the father and mother of this child. Let them ever rejoice in the gift you have given them. Make them teachers and examples of righteousness for their child. Strengthen them in their own baptism so they may share eternally with their child the salvation you have given them through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Through baptism, God has made this new brother a member of the priesthood we all share in Christ Jesus, that we may proclaim the praise of God and bear his creative and redeeming word to all the world. We welcome you into the Lord's family. We receive you as fellow member of the body of Christ, child of the same Heavenly Father, and worker with us in the kingdom of God. Peace be with you. Okay, and I think we have a few gifts this morning for y'all.
On behalf of the women of the church, we'd like to present Weston with the crocheted blanket.
Thank you so much.
On behalf of the education committee, we'd like to present Weston with a little book about his baptism that explains a few things. And on behalf of the women of the church, we'd like to present him with his first Bible.
Thank you.
All right, we have our newest member. Continue with the prayer of the day. I believe it's on page 4, the bottom part of your bulletin. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Almighty God, look upon the hearty desires of your humble servants, and stretch forth the right hand of your majesty to be our defense against all our enemies. Grant this, we pray, through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first lesson this morning comes from Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak at Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev, the word of the Lord. Our psalm today is Psalm 121, and we will read it responsively. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come?
My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Our second lesson is taken from Romans chapter 4. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sins. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you earthly things, you would, and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Have you ever been there when a child takes their first step? And it's almost a comical scene sometimes. You have the child hanging on to something for dear life and just kind of wobbling right there, kind of looking maybe to go forward or to take a step. And then you have mom over here saying, "Come on, come on to mama, come on." And then right behind the child, you have dad like a linebacker ready to grab that child if they start to fall. And then that child sees mom and knows dad's right behind him. And the child lets go and takes the first step. And then plop, right down. It doesn't always happen the first time, but the child gets back up again. And eventually, that child does learn to walk and has that freedom of mobility. Of course, yeah, they could crawl around, they could scoot around on all fours, but this is so much better, to be able to stand up straight and to move and to run and learn how to jump, to have that freedom to go. In our first lesson today, we hear the story of Abram and Sarah as they receive that call from God. And God calls Abram and Sarah and says, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." And they take that first tentative step. Now, you got to understand this. As we read a little bit further on in the lesson, Abram's 75 years old. Would you want to pick up and leave everything that you know and go to a new place? He was being called to leave his family, his heritage home, to leave the land, what he knew, to pack up his wife, to pack up his servants, to pack up his cows, to pack up his sheep, his goats, his camels, his donkeys, or whatever other animals he may have, to leave the land that he knows, to travel several hundreds of miles to a new land that he has no idea what it's like, or what the people will be like there, or what language they will be speaking there, or what kind of plants or vegetation or terrain is going to be in that new land. But yet, Abram steps forth in faith. He steps forth with trust in God, that this is what God wants us to do, or wants him to do. I know some of you have moved or have had new experiences from time to time. There's times when you have to leave your homes, whether it's leaving for a job or maybe when you got married, you left the home of your parents, or maybe off to college, or maybe going off to the military. You did leave to go somewhere new, somewhere different. I remember that experience that I had when I was in seminary, that I was assigned to go on internship. It was that third year of seminary. I had been in Dubuque, Iowa for 2 years, and then I had one more year of seminary, or one more year of internship, and then one more year of seminary. And so I think what that board or whoever assigned us looked at who we were and said, we're going to put you in the strangest experience you've ever noticed in your life. And so here's this Texas guy, known Texas, lived in Texas all my life, and they shipped me off to North Dakota, 1,600 miles away from home. You know, growing up, you walk the streets, and sometimes you could hear German being spoken. Sometimes you could hear Spanish being spoken. And most of the time you heard English being spoken. Well, going up to North Dakota, I wasn't going to hear German. I wasn't going to hear Spanish. Rather, instead, I heard this sing-song English of Norwegian dialect. And if you've ever spent any time up in North Dakota, South Dakota, or Minnesota, they just kind of, it's a sing-song in their language. That was different. Also, it was different for the terrain. It was absolutely flat where I was. It was in at one point, it was an ancient Great Lakes bed, and absolutely flat. They had 1 foot drop on a mile. That's how flat it was. Crops were different. Sugar beets were the main crops. They also grew things like flax up there. And then, too, the people were different. They were Norwegian. They weren't German background or Spanish background. And so they had different culture. Ate different food. There wasn't any barbecue brisket up there. Rather, instead, they ate food like lutefisk and lefse. And so I had new experiences up there. But Catherine and I went. We went. That's where we were assigned. We were assigned to North Dakota, so we took those steps and we went. And it was a good experience to see different people, to experience different things. I learned quite a bit on internship, even though that it was quite different from what I had experienced growing up. All of us are called to take a step forward, maybe just a baby step, maybe just a baby step at first. And sometimes that baby step just doesn't even take. Sometimes we go flat. We plop down. But to take that step, and we don't know where God is calling us. We don't always know what God is leading us to new and strange different places, places we don't want to go. Maybe it's a place of being able to speak up more, to be able to share our faith with somebody else a little bit more. Maybe it's to keep our mouth shut a little bit more, to stop and to listen to someone else. Maybe it's to make amends with somebody else, to ask somebody for forgiveness, or to actually speak the words of forgiveness to somebody else. Maybe it's a call to more active involvement with the community, or with the school, or with your own family, to spend more time with your own family, to be there for your kids, or be there for your parents. Maybe it's a call to be more involved with the ministry of the church. Here within the church, maybe to serve in a committee or to teach a class. Or maybe even to full-time ministry. God tugs at us. God pulls at us. And it's a scary thought of where God wants us to go, because we think, I don't have those skills. I don't know how to do that thing. I don't have the knowledge. It's a scary thing to do, just like that child letting go and taking that first step. Abram and Sarai took that first step, but they knew that it was God who was calling them to go. They knew that it was God who was leading them, and that God who would be watching over them. God gave Abram and Sarah three promises, gave them three promises as they went. The first promise was for land, that they would have a land of their own. A brand new land, something tangible, a place to live, a place to be, a place to call their own. For us too, God calls us out, and He gives us blessings as well then too. A blessing that He gives us is the skills to do what He is calling us to do, to go to that new land. He gives us the skills. He gives us the knowledge. It doesn't always happen right at the first. Sometimes we try to do something and it just goes plop. It falls. But we get up again, and on shaky and wobbly legs, we take another step forward and we do the ministry that God is giving to us. And soon, just like a child, as they start to take those first tentative steps, and as they start to walk with confidence and then run and jump, and the next thing you know, they're asking for the car keys. God does the same thing with us. At first, it's scary. We don't know exactly what we're getting ourselves into. We don't know exactly what God's calling us to do. But as we take those steps, as we get into it, as we learn, as we gain the knowledge, we know that God is with us. The second blessing that God gives Abram and Sarah is family. Gives them a family. He makes that promise that your descendants will be so great, they'll be as great as the number of grains of sand on the beach, or as many as the stars are up in the sky. Here, Abram and Sarah are 75 years old. They have no heirs. But yet, they believe God. 75 years old. And God's saying, you're going to have all these descendants. And they still step out in faith. And they go. But it doesn't happen right away. It takes another 25 years before Isaac is born. As we take our first steps, as we go to where God is calling us to go, or to do the things that God is calling us to do, we learn to thrive. We learn that this is where we are supposed to be. Sometimes it doesn't happen right away. I mean, Abram and Sarah waited 25 years before that child was born. For us, it doesn't happen just right away. But God plants the seeds, or maybe he has us plant the seeds in other people. But we're there. We are working. And as we get into whatever ministry, whatever thing God is calling us to get into, we learn how to do it. Our skills continue to develop. Our knowledge continues to grow. Our wisdom becomes greater. And we know what we are doing, and we know that this is where we are supposed to be. We know this is what we are supposed to be doing. We know because God made us to do these things. And it just feels right. This is what God has called us to do. And he blesses us. The third blessing he gives to Abram and Sarah is they are given these blessings to be a blessing to other people. You will be blessed to bless other people. And that's where this comes down to. That Abram, Sarah, take those first tentative steps. They start moving to that promised land. They start moving to the land of Cana. That strange place, the place with strange people, the place with strange language, with strange terrain. And they start moving and they arrive there. And they start to grow. They start to grow, and they change the world. The history of the world is changed by those steps of Abram and Sarah. And they become a blessing. They become a blessing to all those folks that are around them there, and they continue to be a blessing to us because we look to Sarah and to Abram, and we see the faith that they had. We see the trust that they had in God. And that also gives us the courage to take those steps, to take those baby steps, to walk and to run and to jump and to move and to stretch and to see new things and new wonderful things and to do the ministry of God so that we too, as we are blessed, may be a blessing to others. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, "We Are Baptized in Christ Jesus."
Christ is raised victorious. We breaking of the bread, in the waiting arms of Jesus, who is risen from the dead. God has made a new beginning from the ashes of our past. In the losing and the winning, we hold fast. Glory be to God the Father. Glory be to Christ the Son. Glory to the Holy Spirit, ever three and ever one. As it was in the beginning, glory now resides again in a song that has no ending. Amen.
Please rise for the prayers. Let us lift our hearts and voices to the Lord in prayer that He would be merciful. God of Majesty, sustain us through our Lent journey of renewal, reflection, and repentance. Keep us faithful in our spiritual disciplines so that as we experience your presence, you draw us more deeply into the center of your love. Lord, in your mercy.
Keep watch over our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world when they cry to you for help. Preserve them from every evil. Grant repentance, forgiveness, and new life to their tormentors. Lord, in your mercy. Nicodemus, a teacher in Israel, needed the challenge, wisdom, and words of life that only Jesus could give. Grant that all who seek to be pastors, teachers, and theologians should always sit at Jesus' feet. Make them truth-filled teachers and trustworthy guides to everyone in their care. Lord, in your mercy. Fill this congregation with the Holy Spirit so that day by day our hearts, minds, words, and works are reborn as instruments of your will. Use us to bring your redeeming love to those who need it most. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for travelers, immigrants, and refugees. Protect them from cruel traffickers, false promises, and deadly dangers. We also pray for those who strive to keep our nation safe from those who abuse our hospitality and endanger the innocent. And we also pray for those who step into danger to protect our nation. Lord, in your mercy. Holy and mighty God, around the world your children suffer in mind, body, and spirit. Pour out the healing power of your grace and love. Strengthen and give comfort to all who are in pain, grief, or suffering anxiety. May we be your presence for those who suffer and those who provide care. We pray especially for Lynn Magura, Elaine Molina, Rosa Harton, Joe Barnes, Janet Lemke, Marge Wilhelmson, Margie Bolting, Kermit Kaler, Larry Miller, Lana Creech, Alma Suggs. And we also ask that you may send rain to water the earth. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, thank you for embracing our beloved dead into your everlasting arms. Keep us steadfast in faith. Feed us with the bread of heaven. Be our strength and shield. Fill us with songs and praises that with all the redeemed, we sing to you forever. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated as we continue with the offering. blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things, through your goodness. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, for all is ready. Body of Christ given for you. Blood of Christ shed for you. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Let us pray. Almighty God, you gave your Son both as a sacrifice for sin and a model of the godly life. Enable us to receive him always with thanksgiving and to conform our lives to his through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May God the Father, who does not despise the broken spirit, give you a contrite heart.
Amen.
May Christ, who bore our sins in his body on the tree, heal you by his wounds.
Amen.
May the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all truth, speak to you words of pardon and peace.
Amen.
And may God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Our closing hymn, Lord of All Hopefulness. Peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And as we go in peace, we share that peace with each other. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.